I was having a wonderful ministry. My life has certainly been blessed of God. My ministry through these years has certainly been blessed. I was having a wonderful ministry in the first full-time church that I pastored. We're out the edge in the country, the edge of town. Didn't have many prospects. Folks were getting saved regularly, and everything was fine. And until then, I thought everybody liked preachers. I really did. I didn't. My mom always liked the preachers, and I didn't know. And then one day the news came to me that one of our most faithful members was against me. I'll never forget how I felt. Felt the same way I feel today, by the way, if somebody turns. But I never forget how I felt that first time. I was only in my early 20s. For the first time, I felt the heat of someone who was my friend, whom I'd helped. I'd won the man to Christ. I'd won his entire family to Christ. I had been used of God at least to help salvage his marriage and prevent divorce in his marriage. But all of a sudden, to my complete surprise, he turned on me. And I'm sure, I'm positive of this, there's not been one week of my life since that day that I haven't heard of somebody somewhere who's turned on me. I'm talking about over 40 years. I'm talking about 40 years, 52 weeks a year. Every week, in not one week of my life have I lived without finding out definitely that somebody had turned on me. Now, what's the miracle of that? I still have faith in humanity. I have not quit trusting people. I have not lost my faith in mankind, and I'm not disillusioned. The saddest people in the world are those people who say and believe, "I just don't trust anybody anymore." The most cynical man I ever met is in this room right now. He was the most cynical man I ever met. I will not tell anybody ever his name, but I've never met a man more cynical, more negative. He came to me one day, and he said to me, angrily, he said, "Brother Hiles, I just don't trust anybody anymore." And we talked a while, and I listened to him, and I said to him, after a while, I said, "It is you whom you don't trust." I said, "You're the person you don't trust." He got mad. He said a few well-chosen words that I could not repeat and walked out of my office. He's right in this room this morning, sitting on the platform, on this side of the platform, right in the middle. Anyway, this man said a few well-chosen words, and I said, "I'll see you later, Roy," and he walked out. But the last words I said, "You know it's the truth. It's you whom you don't trust. It's you." Several months passed. One night I was counseling, and when I got through with one customer, patient, whatever they are, they're patients, not customers. They never pay us that dime. But when they, between whatever they are, customers, counselees, this guy was standing at the door. He said, "I want to say one sentence to you. Could I have just time to say one sentence? Won't take 15 seconds. I said, "Yes, sir." He said, come on in. He came in. He looked at me. He began to cry. And he said, "You're right. It's me I didn't trust." He hugged me and said, "You saved my life and changed my life. It'll never be the same." I hear that word, that statement, every week of my life. I know I've heard it a dozen times in the last 7 days. I just don't trust anybody anymore. I just don't trust any preachers anymore. I thank God today that after 43 years of pastoring churches, and after having thousands and tens of thousands of people turn on me, I thank God today I still love the human race. I thank God today I don't distrust the human race. I thank God I'm not disillusioned with mankind. Now, I'm talking to folks this morning who said it. I'm talking to hundreds of folks who made that statement, and you said to your wife or your husband or somebody, I just don't trust anybody anymore. Now, I'm going to tell you this morning why you don't trust anybody. Now, follow me carefully. Number one, you're the only person you really know. You don't know me. Someone has said every man's an island. And that's what you are. You're the only person you really know. You don't know anybody else. I don't know you. You don't know me. I know what I see, what I hear, and how impressed my impressions of you, but I don't know you. The only person in this world that I really know is Jack Hiles, and he's wonderful. But I do know me. I don't know Brother Bordway. What I know, I like. I think he's a great guy, but I don't know him. I've never heard his mind think. I've never read the motives of his heart. I trust John Colston. I don't know John Colston. I trust him. I really don't care to know him either. But I don't know him. I don't know John Colston. I don't know when he goes to the bedside of someone who's ill or dying, and there, with a loving, kind manner that's unequaled by anybody in the whole world that I know. I don't know why he does that. He may want people to like him. He may be doing it for... I don't know. I don't know John Colston. I have confidence in him, but I don't know him. The only person I really know is the man I shave every morning when I look in the mirror. I know Jack Hiles. Now, the only person that you know, and don't leave me now, the only person that you know is you. I said the first place, you are the only person you really know. I say in the second place, so you can only judge others by what you are. Do you hear what I said? Since you don't know me, you can't judge the human race by me. Since you don't know these people here, you can't judge the human race by them. You know you. You're the only specimen of the human race that you really know. You don't know your wife. No talking over here on this side. You don't know your wife. You don't know your husband. You don't know your children. You don't know your parents. But you know yourself. Consequently, you can only judge the human race by what you are. I said, number one, you're the only person you really know. I said, number two, so you can only judge by what you are. Number three, so you see others, you see them act as you would act. In other words, you have to judge other people and their actions by the actions that you yourself make. Let me illustrate. You think only of yourself. Consequently, you think that everybody thinks only of themselves. So you don't trust anybody anymore. You don't think of anybody else. You never think about helping somebody else. You think the whole world's supposed to help you. You think the reason that the sun comes up in the morning is to hear you crow. I mean, the honest truth is, you only think of yourself. Now, because you, hear me now, don't leave me. The reason that you think others think of themselves is because you only think of yourself. You're not concerned about anybody else. Long as you can get your hide spared. Long as you get your skin spared. Long as you folks can take care of you. And that's why you don't trust anybody. You never help anybody, but you think everybody ought to help you. And since nobody helps you, you don't trust them because you're judging the whole world for the knowledge you have of yourself. Let me illustrate again. You never are a true friend. There are people in this room this morning that are not a true friend to anybody. You never are a true friend to anybody in the whole world. But you think everybody ought to be a true friend to you. Consequently, when you find that everybody is not a true friend to you, you judge You judge the whole world by how you are. But you see, you only know yourself. So you look at yourself and you say, and you don't say I'm not a true friend, but you know you're not. And so you judge everybody, so nobody's a true. Well, I bit my tongue again. I bit my tongue. I couldn't help but tell you when I did that then because it hurt. Does anybody have a cheese quarter pounder I can anoint it with right quickly? Last Sunday afternoon, I was eating a piece of cheese, and it was sharp cheese, and I bit my tongue. And I mean, I bit it terribly. And Sunday night, I don't know if you noticed it or not, but I had blood on my lips while I was preaching. I just kept on going. But it's right there where when I chew, it rubs against it. And while I was preaching, and when I bite it while I'm preaching, you're gonna know by the dirty words I say. And but what I'm saying is this: no unselfish person ever says he's lost. He doesn't trust anybody. The person that says I don't trust anybody anymore, I promise you, is not an unselfish person. Because he himself is selfish, he only can judge the selfishness or unselfishness of others by the selfishness of himself. Okay, you said, preacher, I don't believe that, but I don't trust anybody. Ask your question. How many folks have you fed this week? You say, preacher, I don't believe that. What you're saying? Okay, how many pair of shoes have you bought for a shoeless child in the last year? Well, you say, I don't believe what you're saying. Okay, how many clothes have you bought for somebody cold? I don't know anybody. Well, brother, they're all over the Chicago area. Look for somebody. What have you done for anybody lately? I'm saying, and it's the truth, if I ever told it, you have lost your faith in humanity because you have lost your faith in yourself. You only know yourself. You only can judge by yourself. And you are the only person that you know well enough to judge. So you think the entire society and all people are not trustworthy because, and the truth is, you know it. You yourself are not trustworthy. Let me illustrate again. You're not honest. So you think no one is. Let me see if I'm bleeding. I'm going to make it. Praise the Lord. You don't have to let I'm going to make it. Actually, when I bite my tongue like that, it gets big and I have to talk slower, so we'll be here probably to 1:30 today. Praise the Lord. Yeah, okay. Listen, you don't pay your debts. But when somebody doesn't pay you what they owe you, the whole world is crooked. You follow me? I'll guarantee you, people say, I don't trust anybody anymore. They won't pay me what they owe me. I'll guarantee you they're in debt. What am I trying to say? I'm not trying to say anything. I'm saying it. I'm saying that you people that don't trust anybody, you know yourself so well, and you judge the whole world by yourself, when the truth is, thank God, everybody's not like you. There are people that pay their debts and still have faith in humanity. There are people that help people that still have faith in humanity and still trust people. I'll guarantee you, the person who says, I don't trust anybody anymore, is judging by himself because he only knows himself and he expects everybody to pay him. He pays nobody, expects everybody to help him. He helps nobody. And I'll say this also. You talk about others, so they must talk about you. I mean, people, they just talk about me all the time. You don't know that's true. But they must talk about me, I think, because I talk about others all the time. And so since I'm the only one that I know, others must be like me. And if others are like me, they criticize. So they must be criticizing me. Now, folks, I don't live in that kind of world. I don't live in the world. And I know how charming their folks criticize me, but I don't. Every time I see somebody talking, I don't think they're talking about me. If they are talking about me, I think they're bragging on me. I don't live in the type of a world where I suspicion these people are talking about me. I don't do it. Bless God, far as I know, everybody loves me. far as I know, nobody criticizes me. Why? I don't live in that area. And you know why I feel that way? Because I don't go around running down others. And I don't go around criticizing others. And I don't wag my tongue trying to scandalize somebody else. And because of that, I still have faith in humanity because I know myself and I know I do not spend my time criticizing others. So I think there must be thousands and millions of people like me still left in the world. That's what the world needs, more people like me. Illustration. If you don't really love people, so people must not love you. Nobody loves me. You know why? Because you don't love anybody. And because you don't love anybody, you judge the whole world by you. Boy, this is good. I'd like to help you this morning. I'd like to help you cynics. Well, I don't trust anybody. Well, improve on yourself, and then you'll have a better representation of the human race to look at, and you can trust people again. I said, number one, you're the only person you really know. I said, number two, so you can only judge by what you are. I said, number three, so you see other people act as you would act and think everybody would act as you would act, and you don't trust them. I said, you think only of yourself, so they must think only of themselves. I said, you never are a true friend, so no one else must be a true friend. I said that you are not honest, so probably no one is honest. Now, you listen to me. Don't you criticize anybody for owing you money until you paid your debts. And don't you criticize anybody for talking about you till you shut your mouth. And don't you criticize anybody for being selfish till you start thinking about somebody else besides yourself. Now your problem is, you know you. And you relate or judge everybody else's actions on the basis of the way you would act. Bless God, there's a way you can be happy. A fellow walked up to me the other day and he said, you're the happiest man I've ever met in my life. And I said, I am. Probably am. You know, one reason I'm happy? I don't distrust a single person in this house. Not a one. Now, I'm fully aware that somebody in this house is going to turn on me. I'm fully aware that somebody in this house, maybe right now, is considering that very thing. But in any particular case, I don't think so. I trust my staff. I trust my family. I trust three-fourths of the choir. I trust the human race. I don't feel like I'm being mistreated. I don't feel like I got the short end of the stick. I don't feel like I got the worst end of the shuffle. I feel like God's been good to me. I love the human race. I trust the human race. I have confidence in people. I've not lost my confidence in people. And one reason is, bless God, is I've tried not to criticize people. I've tried to be unselfish. I've tried my best to live for others. And because of that, I have a sneaking suspicion that there's still a great world of people out there that's unselfish and loves people. But you see, the truth is, a person could hate everybody in the world but love you. And to you, they're good people. But they could love everybody in the world and hate you and they're bad people. I don't judge people on the basis of how they treat me. I judge people on the basis of how they treat people. And there are a lot of people in the world that don't know me well, and to know me is to love me, as you know. But there are a lot of people that don't know me well, and because of that, they don't like me. But they like everybody else. Well, I think you're pretty good. If there are 4 billion people in the world, if you love 3,999,999,999 and don't like one, that's pretty good. Now, I'm sorry I'm the one, but I'm not going to condemn the whole world to hell because of how they treat me. I hate to tell you this, but you're not the only person alive. And the sun doesn't revolve around you. And the world doesn't revolve around you. All right, I said number one. I got another illustration here first. You haven't done anything for anybody lately. So you're upset because you think that nobody's done anything for you lately. And since you've not done anything for anybody, You judge the whole world by yourself, and you get bitter because nobody's done anything for you. Let me tell you something. I can tell you somebody's done something for you. Jesus died for you. He rose for you. He gave you eternal life. I'll tell you something else, too. There are a heap of people in this world that have done things for you, and you ought to get out behind that cynical kind of a distrustful facade that's in front of you and get out from behind it and look in the world and realize that some people love you. They're trying to help you. They're trying to do good to you. And what you're doing, you've got a cynical, a critical kind of a spirit, so everybody must be cynical. Everybody must be critical. And you're selfish, so everybody must be selfish. And I don't trust anybody anymore. And the truth is, it's because you're not trustworthy. But let me tell you, thank God there's some people left that are not like you. Number four. The truth is that you don't like. One of the greatest days in your life will be the day that you do what that man did who came to my office and said, give me 15 seconds. I want to make one statement to you. He walks in, hugs me. You're right. It's me I don't like. He was blaming society, but he was judging society by himself, as we all have to do. Now, number five, and you see yourself in everybody. And number six, so you don't like what you see. Number seven, so you don't trust him. It's like the fellow who the whole world smelled bad. He found out he had Lindberger cheese in his mustache. That's your problem. That's your whole problem. The world stinks. No, the world doesn't stink. Your smeller's broken. The world looks bad. No, the world doesn't look bad. Your eyes are broken. Boy, I'd hate to live like some of you folks live. I'd hate to live a thing. The world owes me everything. If they don't give me everything, I don't trust them anymore. Let me tell you something. If you got what you deserve, you'd burn in hell forever. And so would I. And anything less than that, better than that, burning in hell forever, bless God, is a bonus. And the truth is, every single person in this room this morning ought to stand up on his 2 feet and say, glory to God, God's been good to me. And I'm so tired of this. Young people, come to my office. And they go bad. And they walk in my office and I say, son, what's the problem? And he says, I'll tell you what the problem is. Said, my mama and daddy never told me they loved me. Now, the truth is, your mom and dad should have told you they loved you. But don't you blame that on the fact that you went bad, fella. And little lady, because you became a whore or a harlot, don't you blame on the fact that your daddy never said he loved you. My Bible said every man will give an account of himself to God. And the honest truth is, you turned bad because you chose to turn bad. And if your mama, all she ever did was suffer and travail and enter the jaws of death to give you life, you owe a debt to her you'll never fulfill. If your dad's put food on your table and a roof over your head and clothes on your ungrateful back for all these years and you're a teenager today, you ought to stand up and say, thank God for my dad. I'm tired of folks blaming other folks for what they've done wrong. This whole world. And that's why I hate psychologists and psychiatrists. Let's go into your background. Your great-grandfather had bad breath. That's why you're like you are. Or your mother ate cheese while you were born. Or before you were born. She had too much cheese. Before you're born. Or you had a great uncle back yonder. And that great uncle back yonder was cross-eyed. Now you listen to me. You listen to me. You listen to me. God is going to judge you for your sins and not somebody else. Now follow me carefully. You say, Brother Howes, doesn't the Bible say the sins shall be visited to the third and fourth generation? Yeah, but the key word there is visited. Didn't say they'll live ever. Your granddaddy's sins may visit you, but you don't have to invite him inside. Invite him inside. It says visited. My daddy was an alcoholic. I've never had a drop of liquor in my mouth. Never. Now, liquor visited me. It was in our house. but never drank a drop. Liquor visited me. My daddy put me on a bar when I was 5 years of age in a tavern and tried to give me a little beer to drink when I was 5 years old. I said liquor visited me, and it was harder for me not to drink than it was for somebody else. It visited me, but it never invited me in, and you are going to give account of yourself to Almighty God. So the truth is, it's not them you don't trust, it's you don't trust. And until you realize that, you're going to be a miserable wretch. Hear me carefully. Your mom and dad are not responsible for your sins. The church you went to is not responsible for your sins. The teacher you had in high school, or the Sunday school, my Sunday school teacher, when I was 5 years old, wasn't faithful and wasn't there every Sunday, and that's what led me astray. No, sir, it was you that led yourself astray. This old sick world of ours, wrapped up in heathen, pagan psychology. I lay down on the couch. If I went to a psychologist, I'd lay on the couch and go to sleep. In the first place, all that secret stuff your mom and grandmama did is none of the psychologist's business. And you don't need a psychologist, you need a mourner's bench. And you don't need a psychologist or psychiatrist, and you don't need to lay down on somebody's psychiatric couch, you need to kneel down an old-fashioned altar and get right with God. Your problem is not your background, your problem is your sin, and you confess your sin, and you'll be amazed how much you'll lack the human race again. Now, what to do? I said, number one, you're the only person you really know. I said, number two, so you can only judge mankind by what you are. Number three, so you see them act as you would act. Number four, the truth is that it is you don't like. Number five, and you yourself are in everybody. Number six, you don't like what you see. Number seven, you don't trust them. Now, listen carefully to me. You people, hear me now. You people that don't trust anybody, and there are hundreds in this room that don't, or said they don't. There are dozens who said it to me. You know what you need? You need to get off your blessed assurance while we stand and sing after a while. Now hear me. And get up out of your chair and walk down this aisle and get on your knees and confess your sins instead of pointing to everybody else's. Confess your sins and ask God to forgive your sins and beg God to forgive your sins and get yourself right with God and get your sins forgiven and forsaken. And you'll walk back to your seat with a new confidence in humanity. What to do? Number one, see people. Quit looking at yourself. Look at that little boy I came to my office the other day. Sit up straight. Don't lean on each other like you're going to sleep back there. Sit up. If you want to, I'll get you a quilt and a pillow. Make you comfortable. I didn't come to make you comfortable. I came to make you uncomfortable. That little boy came to my office on Thanksgiving Day. Now, hear me carefully. How old is he, Colonel? Your grandson. 11 years old. Now, what are they trying to do? They're trying to keep his grandson, trying to keep the boy alive till Christmas. He's got leukemia. Get your eyes off yourself and get your eyes on that boy. The whole human race will change. Get your eyes on that young man that sat in my office of the day. Young married man. Going to the penitentiary. In fact, he probably went last week. And I sat there in my office and looked at him and realized he was on his way to the penitentiary. And wept. When he walked out of my office, I fell on my face, on my carpet, face down. And I said, oh my God, what a sin-cursed world this is. And what a heart-sick world this is. And I didn't say while I was on my face praying for that fella, I don't trust anybody. I wasn't thinking about whether I trusted or not. I wasn't thinking about myself. I've got enough problems to occupy me, but I'm not going to dwell on them. I've got enough burdens to keep me down. If I decided to do it, I'm not going to do it. Bless God, I'm going to look for somebody else that has a burden, and I'm going to lift theirs, and I'm going to encourage them, and I'm going to help them. Get your bus route and get busy with bus kids. Go at the hospital and go up and down the hospital corridors and visit folks dying with cancer and get your mind off yourself and quit pitying yourself, and God will transform your life. Look at that young mother with three children. Her husband just left her for a whore. What kind of Christmas does she have to look forward to? I told you the other day about that young couple. Husband, 19 years old. Wife, maybe 19, 20. She had a baby one day. He had no job. She had a baby one day, and they walked all the way from down here at Harrison Park the next night to see me in my office. I mean, the little baby was only 24 hours old, and she walked a mile or two to see me. Now, wait a minute. About a half a dozen people gave me something, say I want to help them in some way. There's more than a half dozen here this morning. We passed the plates last Sunday night for several families who've lost everything. We got a little over $1 per person. That's your problem. Here's the way you give. That's your problem. Me, my, I, we, ours, us. And that's why you don't trust anybody. Because you're selfish, everybody's selfish. Because you're critical, everybody's critical. Because you're crooked, everybody's crooked. Because you're dishonest, don't pay your debts, everybody's dishonest, don't pay their debts. First thing you ought to do is see people. Number two, you ought to help people. Number three, make yourself what you wish they were. Number four, they'll be influenced by you. I look at it as a challenge. Somebody's crabby, I try to figure out some way to uncrabby them. It's been years since I told this story. I think I'll tell it. I was down in Tampa, Florida, many years ago. And you ask anybody around me much, and they'll tell you I sort of live this way if I can. My flight was postponed about 3 hours. I had 3 hours in the airport. Went upstairs to the restaurant, the airport. Been a long time ago. Prices weren't too high, and I got me a little plate lunch. But I walked in, and a little waitress there said, sir, did you want to eat a meal? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, would you like a booth? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, come this way. I said, thank you, ma'am. She went. She said, would you like a menu? I said, yes, ma'am. She came back and she said, are you ready to order? I said, yes, ma'am. She took that little pad she had in her hand to write on and she threw it down on the table where I was sitting. She said, yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am. Don't you know any other words except yes, ma'am? I said, yes, ma'am. She turned her back. I was over here. She turned her back and took my order. She brought my little plate lunch back and she tossed it. English peas scattered across the table. And she walked away. She came back and put my bill down. She wrote down and put it down like this. Been a long time ago, my bill for a festival plate was $1.67. Can you imagine that? One English pea cost you $1.75. $1.67. I got up, I left the tip. $5. $5. I walked up to pay my ticket. The little waitress had seen the $5, and she walked up and she said, "Mister, you dropped some money as you left. This $5 bill." She said, I'm honest, and this is your money. Here it is." And I said, "Ma'am, don't they leave tips in Florida?" And she began to cry. She said, "You left that for me?" Well, I said, "Of course I did." She said, "After the way I treated you, I don't see how you could do it." And I said, "You're not a bad lady. I can tell a broken heart when I see a broken face. I can tell that something down inside is tearing you up today. You're not a bad lady. You've got a broken heart." She looked at me and she said, "Mister, that's true. My husband just left me. Left me with children. I think she said 2 children to rear. And I don't know how I'm going to rear them. I just don't know. I've got to rear them by myself." I said, "Would you like some help in rearing them?" She said, "You couldn't help me." I said, "No, but I got a friend that can." I told her about my friend, and she got saved right there with dozens and dozens of people packing that place out. She got prayed right from the cash register and trusted Christ. I walked my plane almost 3 hours later, and she was coming down the hallway, and she met me. And I said, "Are you still saved?" She grinned and said, "Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am." Did you know what I said as I walked away? "I don't trust anybody. I don't trust anybody." No, and you won't say that ever again if you'll get your mind off your sorry self and get your mind on other people. I could go across this platform this morning and I could tell you of heartbreaks all over this platform, and you let me, we laugh and we cut up with the bass section of the choir. And you didn't know that one of those guys that gives us so much delight over there has a grandson, 11 years old. They don't even think they're trying to keep alive till Christmas. I'm simply saying that this whole world travails in sorrow and heartache. Somebody's got to care. If you quit caring for yourself so much and quit relating everything that's said on the basis of what it has to do with you. I'll tell you again, every one of you that makes that statement or feels that way, I can tell you how to cure it. I don't trust anybody anymore. Every one of you. As soon as we have the invitation, I can tell you how to cure it. Get off your pride and off your blaming everybody under the sun except the guy or the gal that you see in the mirror in the morning. And for the first time, maybe in some of your lives, you walk down the aisle a penitent, humble sinner. And get on your knees and say, "Dear God, I am going to start living my life for other people." And I'll promise you, you'll have confidence. Mrs. Bartels never lost her confidence, trust in people. Mr. Briner never lost his trust in people. Wally McCarroll never lost his trust in people. Nor have I. Nor will I. And if I ever do, somebody somewhere in this country will see Dr. Jack Hiles on his knees at an altar, getting right with the human race. You say, "Well, hold it. I thought you were supposed to get right with God." You can't be right with God unless you're right with the human race. Now this morning, in a quick closing, you're going to be disappointed. Friday, I was disappointed. I was preaching in Atlanta, Georgia. Somebody told me about somebody. I was disappointed. So what'd you do? I believe that person is going to change his mind and like me again. That's what I believe. I think everybody that hates me is going to love me to death someday. Yeah, I really did. Yeah. Everybody's ever got mad leaving this church. They're coming back. You wait and see. After I leave. Oh, me. I think about that morning when the college had its fire. And Dr. Evans called Mrs. McKinney and said, please tell the preacher to get back Wednesday. The boys' dorm is burned beyond use. Smell of smoke is all over the college campus. We need Brother Howes tomorrow to cheer the people up. I walked out, and as near as Howes Anderson College can get down, it was down that day, and I just started singing, everything's all right in my Father's house, in my Father's house. I didn't say a word, didn't preach a sermon. Everything's all right in my Father's house, where there's joy, joy, joy. When I got through singing, I sang it again. Everything's all right in my Father's house, in my Father's house, in my Father's house. Everything's all right in my Father's house, where there's joy, joy, joy. When I got through, I sang it again. And everything's all right. As you can notice, I improved it every time I sang it. And changed the tune every time I sang it, too. Just kept on singing. I guess for 5 minutes I sang, and then maybe for 10 minutes I sang. Over and over again. Everything's all right in my Father's house. In my Father's house. In my Father's house. Everything's all right in my Father's house, where there's joy, joy, joy. And soon the students started singing with me. Everything's all right in my Father's house, in my Father's house, in my Father's house. Everything's all right. And they sang it over and over again. And after a while, they began to clap their hands. After 10 or 15 minutes, just sing it over and over again. And we began to clap our hands. Everything's all right in my Father's house. And you know, before the was over, everybody in the building was glad we had a fire. We had a fire here one time. An arson set two of our buildings on fire and tried to destroy them all. That very day, they arrested him. That Sunday, Saturday, arrested him, put him in the jail down at the Hammond City Hall. And that afternoon after church, Mrs. Howes and I drove down and walked in the jail and talked to the man that had just burned half of our buildings and told him he was forgiven. Get the Lindberger cheese out of your mustache. Our Father.